This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's an honor to be in Malaysia again. I was here in June with Al-Maghrib teaching a class called The Eternal Journey, which was Tafsir Juz Tabarak. And subhanAllah, the final destination of Muslims, inshaAllah, after the eternal journey is Jannah. And that's the topic for tonight here, the beauty of Jannah, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of our steps to Jannah. Say Ameen. Ameen. And just to clarify, I'm an associate professor at Al-Azhar University in Egypt. I teach Islamic studies and English. And currently, I'm teaching Islam at the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And I'm also one of the instructors with Al-Maghrib. Aside from that, I do interpretation and translations with the United Nations. And I'm also a life coach. And the reason, as the brother mentioned, that I'm here is to do some events, including tonight. And also, inshallah, I'm giving the khutbah in the main masjid of the university tomorrow, inshallah. And I'm also here during Saturday and Sunday to talk about engagement before engagement, marriage in Islam. So they call it the orchard of love, because when you say marriage, people get scared, especially the brothers. I don't know why. Alhamdulillah, I'm not talking about the brothers here, mashallah. These are responsible people, and we'll not let them leave the room without getting married tonight, inshallah. So the reason I'm here tonight, inshallah, is to talk about the beauty of Jannah. Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So this is the son of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He was a scholar too. He asked his father one day, he said, Ya Abati, Mata Raha? He said, Oh my dear father, when shall we get absolute happiness and rest, comfort and relaxation? And the reason he's asking this is because, like you and I, everyone in this life is seeking that, right? We're seeking what? Happiness, comfort. So he, as if he's saying, is there comfort in this life? Can we reach that? Do we have something called absolute happiness in this dunya? So where can we find it? And subhanAllah, the answer came from his father, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. He said, Ya Bunay, يستريح الإنسان عندما يخطو أول خطوة في الجنة. He said, you will get that comfort or rest or happiness when you make the first step into Jannah. So for those who are seeking absolute happiness or comfort in this dunya, you won't find it. And that's my first question to you. When most of us today, if I were just to try to make it interactive, people are seeking money. Why? It's not haram to seek money. And in fact, we want the whole ummah to be not only millionaires, but billionaires, inshallah. But why? Why are the people seeking money? Can you tell me? To be happy, right? Can money buy happiness? That's the question. At some point of time, yes. So that makes sense, mashallah. So you can buy what?
Car.
A car. Okay. And that will make you happy.
Yes.
Right? When you are stuck in traffic and you are sitting there for hours. Are you happy? Yeah, we were in the car now. Okay. When the car gets out of order, are you happy?
No.
When you have a flat tire, are you happy?
No.
And some people get the car and they use it to, you know, for something to displease Allah. It's temporal happiness, right? Okay. So people try to find, like, you know, to build a huge building, a mansion, right? What are they seeking? Happiness, right? Comfort. SubhanAllah, after a few years, you know, there are some cracks in the ceiling. You know, the sewage system is not working properly, so we need maintenance, right? What else? What else people seek in this dunya to make them happy? Children, mashallah. And of course, when the person gets the news, you have a girl, Allahu Akbar. She's very cute, mashallah. And you have a boy, Allahu Akbar. And then when they become teenagers, and they talk back, and they challenge you, you say, Allahu Akbar. Right? And it's only the Muslims who always say, Alhamdulillah. Right? You meet the brother in the morning, he's like, no, how are you? He's going to say, Alhamdulillah, with a big smile, right? Because he was promoted, you know, the night before. And then you meet him the following day, how are you? He's going to say, Alhamdulillah. What's happening? It was just like my wife had a fight with me last night and she beat me up this morning. So we'll always say Alhamdulillah regardless of the situation that we are living, right? So people, subhanAllah, seek happiness even sometimes by helping others. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you lots of money, you help people who are in debt, you help people to get married, right? You help people to buy something, you know? And why do you do this? Because just by helping people and being charitable, it gives me some sense of fulfillment and it makes me happy. But the question is, and just be honest with me, is there something called perfect, complete, absolute happiness in this dunya?
No.
MashaAllah. I wish I have a candy. Usually I give candy to the people who give me the right answer. But inshaAllah, I owe you candy if you come to the marriage. You know, similar, inshaAllah. And come up with a ring with you, inshaAllah. Yeah. So, there is nothing called perfect happiness in this life. Why? It's called dunya. Do you know the meaning of the word dunya in Arabic? They say the word dunya stems from two stems. Either dana'ah, when you call something dani, it means worthless. It's worth nothing in the sight of Allah. And the proof is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, لو كانت الدنيا تساوي عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى منها كافر شربة ماء. If this worldly life in this dunya is equal in the sight of Allah to a wing of a mosquito or a fly, Allah would not give a disbeliever a sip of water. But look at the kafir today. They have a bigger house than yours. You're driving your bike and it's raining and he's like, you know, driving BMW, right? And you look at them and say, Astaghfirullah. I'm a Muslim. I pray 7 times a day. And this is a disbeliever. Yallah, alhamdulillah. Again, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ also said, and this is the second meaning of dunya. Dunya means, this is why this is called as-sama' al-dunya, the nearest heaven to us. It's very close to us. And our life comes to an end very close. You know, I might not be able to finish this talk. You know, if you YouTube dying sheikh, you'll find a sheikh giving a talk, you know, and he died in the middle of the talk. And subhanAllah, I was in the same masjid where that man, like he is from Egypt, I was in the same masjid sitting at the same seat giving a talk, and it was also for a wedding, subhanAllah. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, subhanAllah. Look at this. Who decides that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي بَيْنَ السَّتِّينَ وَالسَّبْعِينَ لَا يُجَاوِزْهَا إِلَّا الْقَلِيلِ. The average span of life of my followers is between 60 to 70. Very few who pass that age. Am I right or right? Which right? The first or the second or both? Both. MashaAllah. That's good. So again, so it's called dunya because it's very short. You're not going to live for that long, right? Second, it's worthless in the sight of Allah. And as we will see inshaAllah in our talk tonight. So if there is no absolute happiness, which is the ultimate goal of all people today, so what is happiness then? And who can answer this question? In fact, the best one who can answer this question is the one who brought us to life, and is the one who is going to take our life, and he's the one who's going to resurrect us, bring us back to life, and we're going to stand in front of him in the day of judgment. He answered this in Surah Hud. He said,
يَوْمَ يَأْتِ لَا تَكَلَّمُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ.
There will come a day when no one will talk without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ.
People will be one of two, either absolutely miserable or absolutely happy, because this is the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined to us success and happiness, which everyone is seeking today. He said,
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا فَفِي النَّارِ.
As for those who will be absolutely miserable, they are those who will end up in hellfire. May Allah save us all. Say Ameen. And then we'll skip one ayah. Then Allah said,
وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ.
As for those who will be absolutely happy, they are those who will end up in Jannah. May Allah guide all of our steps to Jannah.
Amen.
So where is absolute happiness? In Jannah. Where is absolute misery? Hellfire. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to save us from hellfire and allow us to enter Jannah, this is Al-Fawzul Azeem. Al-Fawzul Kabir. You'll see this in the Quran many times. This is the greatest success, the greatest victory, the greatest gift that you can ever had or reward, you know, in both of your lives. So it's amazing when you read the Arabic of these two verbs, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا. This is in the active. Anybody who knows Arabic here? Okay. If Obama's calling me, tell him I'm busy, please. Okay. Anybody knows Arabic here? No one? Oh, mashallah. Okay. So Allah uses the verb shaku in the active. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the verb su'idu in the passive. And this has a very important message to us, which is when it comes to choosing the way to misery or the way to happiness, you should know that people make their own choices because they have free will in this life. And they choose with their own free will to take the wrong way and they end up being miserable. So Allah used it in the active. So Allah didn't force them. And some of them, they will come up with excuses in the Day of Judgment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained this in Surah Az-Zumar, Surah number 39. If you read ayah number 53 and down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gives us hope that, you know, whatever, you know, sins you have made in this life, you know, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Just come back. Allah will accept you. Allah forgives all types of sins. And you have to do this right away before death comes to you and follow the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Prophet. And then after that, He killed the excuses that people will come up with in the Day of Judgment. Those who choose with their own free will, but they will try to blame Allah, where in fact they should blame none but themselves. Allah said, some of them will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتَةً وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Follow the best that has been sent to you, which is the Quran and the Sunnah, before death comes to you, and it comes suddenly, and you have no clue. Somebody eats dinner, they go to bed, you wake them up in the morning, they're gone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرط.
So some people will say, oh, I have so much regret in my heart because I have wasted my life. في جنب الله. I didn't give Allah His due right. I didn't know Him. I didn't submit to Him. وإن كنت لمن الساخرين. Not only that, I used to make fun of those righteous people. Look at his beard. He looks like a terrorist. Look at her hijab. Oh my God, she's wearing niqab too, she's covering everything. You never know what she's hiding. So they used to make fun of the righteous ones. Or the other excuse would be,
أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ.
Some people would say, if Allah were to guide me, I'll be amongst the pious. What do you mean? Do you want, you know, when you get your bike on Saturday night, and you want to go to the bar and get high there, do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to force your bike to go to the masjid? It's exactly what he's saying. This is what people would say on the Day of Judgment. Or do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you want to touch haram, He's going to freeze your hand? That's exactly what they're asking. Allah gave you free will in this dunya. I can use this hand to pat the shoulder of someone. The very same hand, I can use it to slap someone, or to steal, or kill. So Allah gave me the choice to use it, right? So here you go. We have to blame none but ourselves. So Allah killed all of these excuses. And then He said the third one, أَوْتَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً. And when they see the punishment on the Day of Judgment, they're going to say, oh, if I have a second chance, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to send me back to the dunya, فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I will be not من المسلمين or من المؤمنين. No, من المحسنين. The highest level of this deen. Those who worship Allah as if they see Him, and if they couldn't see Him, Allah could see them. But these are false hopes, false promises. Why? Because they are saying this in the Akhirah, it's too late. You can say, I'm sorry now. So, let's go back to the second verb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا. But as for those who were led to happiness, to absolute happiness, because wallahi, Allah guided you to come here tonight. Allah guided you to submit to Him and be a Muslim. And that's the greatest blessing ever in this life. Allah guided you to be amongst the jama'ah to pray Isha today. It all belongs to Allah. Don't say, I. Because shaitan was the first one to have this ego and say, I am better than him. But say, Alhamdulillah, that He guided me to be here. Alhamdulillah that Allah gave me Muslim parents and they brought me up as a Muslim. It all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the verb was su'idu. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the long hadith, Qudsi hadith, He said, you know, Ya ibadi in hiya illa a'malikum. O my servants, you know, uhsiha lakum. I keep record of all your deeds. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا. If you see something good in the Day of Judgment in those records, فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Thank Allah. Don't thank yourself. Because without Allah, wallahi, I can't move this hand up and down. I can't leave this place to go to the car again. Am I right or right?
Yeah.
Which right? Jazakallah khair. Okay. So, and then Allah said, وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. And if you find something other than that, meaning bad deeds, don't do this. Oh, he took me to the bar that night. Oh, he's the one who... No. Just do this. In fact, when you use this gun, you know, and shoot the brother here, like, you know, there is one finger pointing at him, right? But there are three pointing at me. I want you to see them. When every time you point at someone, no, just like see those three pointing at you. So before you blame anyone, blame yourself three times first. So don't blame anyone except yourself. So let's go to the main topic. So what's Jannah? What's in Jannah? What's waiting for us in Jannah? What's Jannah like? You know, we hear that the Jannah has buildings. Are they the same like here? Although mashallah, this is a beautiful building. Can we compare this to Jannah? What about the rivers in Jannah? We hear that there are rivers in Jannah. We hear that there are like trees in Jannah. You know, there are like men and women in Jannah. Are they like here today? There's like al-hur, and I know the sisters, you know, will get mad at me, but just wait, inshallah. We're going to tell you, inshallah. If the brothers will have al-hur al-ain, we'll tell you what you have, inshallah. Also, we need to know that after we go through a long journey, you know, then we are going to be standing in front of Jannah. So who's going to be the first one so that the door will be open to us? Is it going to be like automatic? Everybody can go right away? And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, He said, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. Allah said, and those who will go to hellfire, they are pushed out of humiliation, you know, to hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, until they reach the gates of hellfire, it opens automatic and they are pushed into it. They're not going to be like, you know, please come in. No, they're going to be pushed. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا. Most of the verbs in the Quran, they are in the passive because the angels will push them and humiliate them. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجُ يَوْمَ يُدَعُونَ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَى. Most of the verbs in the Quran talking about hellfire, so they're going to be pushed into it. And the doors will open automatically because hellfire is waiting for them. She's angry. But when it comes to Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. And those who were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, they're going to be walking to Jannah in groups, as they were groups in dunya, you know, trying to help one another to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, until they reach the gates of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. So there's an extra wow here. Why? Because the gates of Jannah will not open right away. Because someone has to enter first. And Jannah will never be open to anyone before him. Do you know who he is? The best man ever who has walked on this earth, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, أنا أول من يدخل الجنة ولا فخر. He said, I'm the first one who will enter Jannah. And I'm not saying this out of pride. It's his humbleness, subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in his heart. And this is how we should be as Muslims. He said, فَأُمْسِقُوا بِحِلَقِ الْجَنَّةِ فَأُقَعَقِعُهَا. I'm going to hold the doorknobs of Jannah, and I'm going to knock on the gate of Jannah. فَيُقَالُ لِي مِنْ خَلْفِ الْبَابِ مَنْ. And then it will be said to me behind the door, who? I'm going to say, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. فَيُقَالْ بِكَ أُمِرْنَا أَلَّا نَفْتَحَ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَكَ. So they will say to him, we have instructions never to open the gate of Jannah to anyone before you. And then the door will be open and the Prophet ﷺ will enter. And then after that, all the prophets and the Sahaba and the righteous people will enter. I just want to stop here and I'm going to ask you a question. Would you be right behind him? Or would you be so far from him? Where are you now from his sunnah? How much do you know about him? How much do you love him? This will decide, you know, where you're going to be when you, inshallah, enter Jannah, inshallah. So try to study much of his seerah. Try to take him as your role model. Try to get closer to him by following his sunnah and longing to see him on the Day of Judgment. This is why you'll be with him, because he gave us good news. You know, a sahabi came one time and he was crying. One of his companions, he came and he was crying, and the Prophet said, why are you crying? He said, Prophet of Allah, when I'm sitting at home and I miss you, I just come here to the masjid, or I come to your house and I can see you. But the reason I'm crying now, because I was thinking about there will come a day when I'm going to die and you will die. And I know that for sure you are at the highest point in Jannah, but I'm not sure whether I will make it to Jannah or not. Even if I make it to Jannah, I'm not sure whether, you know, where my rank will be, because between one rank and the other in Jannah is 500 years. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him the good news. Would you like to know it?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Or in the marriage class, inshallah. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabbi yawm al-qiyamah. You will be with those whom you love on the Day of Judgment. Why would the Sahabi cry? Why would he miss the Prophet ﷺ? Isn't it because he loved him? So the Prophet ﷺ told him, if you miss me that much, if you love me that much, you will be with me at the same rank in Jannah. So do you love the Prophet ﷺ?
Yes, sure.
Do you miss him?
Yes.
You'll be with him, inshallah. That's good news. So the question, or the next question, is what are the stages that I have to go through before I'm now in front of the gate of Jannah? You know, we all know that there are so many steps, so many, it's, you know, this is why when I was here in June, I was calling it the eternal journey. It starts with your life, where we are now, and then all of us will die, so death comes after that. And then when we go to the grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابَرِ, until you visit the graves. He didn't say until you live or stay. Allah called it a visit. It could be hundreds, thousands of years, but still it's a visit, it's a short time. And it's not the end. It's a transitional stage. Then after that, you know, you know, the horn will be blown and we'll have to wake up again, resurrection. After resurrection, we'll be gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the records will be given to us. And before that, the Prophet ﷺ will intercede with Allah so that the Day of Judgment will start, which is 50,000 years. And then after that, you know, there will be the scale, a real scale, where your good deeds will be, you know, outweighed against your bad deeds. And for you to make it to Jannah, your good deeds have to outweigh your good deeds, your bad deeds. And then there is a place called Al-Hawd, where the Prophet ﷺ would be waiting for his ummah, those who followed him. And he'll offer you a drink. If you drink from that hawd, you will never feel thirsty again. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there, inshaAllah. Oh, he's happy, mashaAllah. This is Amin in Malay, you know. Okay. I would just like to say to him, Turmaka say for helping me. So after we go through this, you know, we'll have to go through something called the test of believers. And then we'll have to cross the Sirat, which is a bridge over hellfire. And then if you cross the bridge, it means you're saved from hellfire. There's a final stop before the final destination, which is Jannah. It's called Kantarat al-Madalim. If you oppress someone, if you took the right of someone, if you slander someone, and he was weak in the dunya, he couldn't take it back from you, they're going to be standing there waiting for you, and they're going to say, "Oh Allah, you are the Almighty today. And this person oppressed me. He took this from me. Get it back to me." And in that day, there will be no dollars, no children, no power, no authority. They will take your good deeds. And if you fail, you'll go back to hellfire. So now that you are done with all of these stages, you're in front of Jannah, you made it to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to Jannah. How would the first group of people who will go to Jannah look like? And before that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ told us, you know, how spacious is the gate of Jannah. He said, the gate of Jannah, and there are eight of them, there are eight gates of Jannah. You know, and each one of them is named after the type of ibadah you used to excel at. There's, you know, a door for salah, for those who used to do extra nawafil after the fard salah. You know, there's a door called Ar-Rayyan. This is for those who used to do extra, you know, voluntary fasting, you know, beyond and after, you know, Ramadan. And there is also a door called As-Sadaqah for those who used to give a charity. You know, there's a door for jihad. So there is a door for, you know, for every ibadah. So the gate, the space of the opening of the gate, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's like the space between Mecca and Ash-Sham. So Mecca in Arabia, where the Kaaba is, and Ash-Sham is, you know, it's a name that's given to the area of Syria, Palestine, and Lebanon. Look at the distance. SubhanAllah. Yet the Prophet ﷺ said, but we will be so crowded. Can you imagine a door like that? And somebody's like, oh yeah, so I'm going to be like very easy for me. I'm going to be running in, inshallah. No, the Prophet ﷺ said, we'll be so crowded. Why? Because alhamdulillah, the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ, good news, more than half of the people who will go to Jannah are from the ummah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, even though we are the latest ummah. So that's a blessing. We should take advantage of this, inshallah, not by wishing, but by working hard. So the Prophet ﷺ described to us the first group who will make it to Jannah. He said, the faces of the first group that will make it to Jannah will be as bright as the moon, you know, during the middle of the month. You know, the moon goes through stages, right? My name is Rida Bidayr. The word Bidayr at the end, it should be pronounced as Budayr, which means the moon in the smallest stage, which is called the crescent. In Arabic, they call it Al-Hilal, you know? But then it grows, hopefully, inshallah, when I become 90 or something, it becomes Badr. Badr means full moon. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ said, people, the first group of people who will make it to Jannah, their faces will be illuminated and be shining like the moon during, you know, Laylat al-Tamam, like in the middle of the lunar calendar, which means full moon. Can you imagine, you know, when we look at a light bulb like this, we say thanks to Edison. Right? But look, you, inshallah, when you make it to Jannah, your face will be as radiant as the moon. And the moon gives light to half of the hemisphere, half of the earth. Imagine if you are one of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. And then he said, the next group after that, you know, it's like people are ranks according to their deeds. The next group after that, their faces will be like the brightest star in the sky. And then, you know, the less the good deeds, the less the light will be. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take all of us, inshallah, to Jannah. Okay, what are the characteristics of the people in Jannah? You know, shall we have like washrooms in Jannah? I have bad news for you. There are no washrooms in Jannah. So, like, this is going to be tough. And, you know, the Asian food, you know, is always spicy. And, you know, this is why I don't eat spicy food. So, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يبولون. You know, we're not going to use washrooms in Jannah. So, what about the waste in our bodies? Listen, you're going to be created in a different way. You know, we will be the same image of our father. You know our father? When I say our father, Malaysians, you know, Indonesians, people from Singapore, you know, Arabs, non-Arabs, North Americans. Our father is Adam, right? So we'll be in his image, 60 feet long, 21 feet width. Don't ask me how. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something amazing. Okay, because when I went to Hajj, I thought that I was tall until one time I was doing tawaf and somebody stepped over my toes. And usually I do like this, but this time I had to do like this. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Like, you know, he stepped over my toes. He didn't even see me and he walked away. I said, subhanAllah. So now I started to imagine. Even when I was young, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, said in Surah Qaf, you know, Surah number 50, he said, مَا يَلْفِضُ مِنْ قَوْلِ Whatever an utterance that come out of your mouth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps a record of that. When I was young, I was so, you know, foolish. I said, what? I talk a lot. You know, I think the angels will be writing lots of books for me. So how come? You know, imagine how much, you know, we talk, especially the sisters, you know. Imagine now how many records are there waiting for us. Especially over the phone sometimes. So it's amazing, you know, later on when the first time I got a flash card and now we have like USB. And I see how much information and data that you can save on that, you know, could be information of a whole country. I said, subhanAllah, look at me and you with our limited human mind, would it be difficult for the angels to do that? You see? So there will be no washrooms in Jannah because the waste of our bodies will come in the form of sweat, and that sweat will smell like fragrance, like perfume. Oh, you mean I'm not going to nag my husband and ask him to buy me perfume? No. You will be the source of perfume yourself, and the man too. So imagine, no sewage system, no problems at home. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَمْشَاطُهُمُ الذَّهَبُ The comb that they use, you know, are made of gold. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, يُلْهَمُونَ التَّسْبِيحِ كَمَا تُلْهَمُونَ النَّفَسِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire them to celebrate His praises, you know, as we are given the breath now in and out. You see, this is the source of life. If the breath stops, what happens? You die. So in Jannah, no, there is no work. Right, like you have no work to do except just enjoy the blessings of Allah because you have worked hard in the dunya. You stopped where He said stop. You didn't go to places that will make Him displeased with you. You went to places that He will always be pleased to see you there. So you had so many restrictions in the dunya, so you have no restrictions in Jannah. But those who do whatever they like in dunya, they will be so scared in the akhirah. So why? Why would we do this? Why would we always, you know, be doing tasbih? Because wherever you go, you will see things. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qudsi hadith, I have prepared for my righteous servants in Jannah, you know, what their eyes have never seen, what their ears have never heard, and even things that has never crossed their own imagination. And then he said, اقرأ قوله تعالى في سورة السجدة, فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. No one would know what Allah has prepared for them in Jannah. Allah has prepared a lot for us in Jannah. May Allah make us all amongst Jannah. Listen, there will be an announcement in Jannah. Very important announcements. And it will have solutions to all of our concerns in this dunya. And let me ask you a question. What are our concerns in dunya? I don't want to die. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to be miserable in this dunya. Right? And what else? Is there anything else? Sickness? Death? Misery? What else? Poor. Being poor. What else?
Loneliness.
Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make this announcement. You will hear this in Jannah. إِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَصِحُوا فِيهَا فَلَا تَسْقَمُوا أَبَدًا. You will never get sick in Jannah. So the brothers who work as doctors, there will be no jobs for you there, inshallah. So, no sickness. So, why would you be concerned? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, إِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَشِبُّوا فِيهَا فَلَا تَهْرَمُوا أَبَدًا. Old age? No. And this is why when a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ, she said, Prophet of Allah, she was very old. أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, you know, shall I enter Jannah? He said, no. No old woman in Jannah. So the woman was so sad and she left crying. And the Prophet said, come back. Didn't you read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Waqi'ah? Inna ansha'nahunna insha'a. Allah said, you know, you will be created in a different way in Jannah and will be all the same age. The age of Isa alayhi salam, 33. The power of Musa alayhi salam. And the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. So you'll have it all. You'll have it all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَكَارًا. You will always be virgin. All the time in Jannah. فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَكَارًا عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا. And when you, you know, when you go and look up the word المرأة العروب in the Arabic language, it's a woman who knows how to speak love and show her love to her husband. Every time he comes back home, he will look more handsome and she will look more beautiful. So she's going to say poetry. I don't have time to go into this because the brothers will be spoiled, okay? And by the way, this is your wife. You know, we're not talking like yet about Al-Hurayn. So the same age, that's the meaning of Atraba. Atraba means the same age. So there is no old age. Third announcement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, إِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَحْيَوْا فِيهَا فَلَا تَمُوتُوا أَبَدًا. There's no death. You will live forever. Have you ever imagined the word خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا many times in the Quran? Eternity. We as human beings, we can't imagine this because we have a human limited mind. Everything becomes with weakness at the beginning, a baby, and then, you know, youth, like being strong, and then you go back to old age and then you die. But in Jannah, no death because there's no old age and there's no sickness. And then the most important thing, somebody said poor, lonely, he said, إِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَنْعَمُوا فِيهَا فَلَا تَبْأَسُوا أَبَدًا. You will be leading a blessed life. There is no misery at all. So no poverty, no sadness, no loneliness, no grief, no, like, you know, all of these negative emotions, they wouldn't be there in Jannah. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, you know, يُؤْتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of judgment, be أبأسي, you know, بأنعم أهل الأرض, you know, في الدنيا وهو من أهل النار. You know, a man will be brought and he used to live a life of absolute luxury as he thought, because there's nothing absolute as we said in dunya. You know, like, you know, he rarely saw something bad in his life. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَيُغْمَسُ في النار غمسة واحدة. He'll be just like dipped into, you know, when you dip something, when you're eating, you'll be dipped in, you know, hellfire for 1 second or even less. And then he will be asked, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا قَدْ Have you seen any luxury or ease in your life? He would say, لَا وَاللَّهِ Imagine 70, 80, 90 years of luxury. 1 second in hellfire will make him forget all that luxury. And vice versa. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِأَبْأَسِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ Then a man who lived a very miserable life, all his life was a test through a test through a test. You know, he comes out from a plight, he goes into another disaster. Okay? So subhanAllah, فَيُغْمَسْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غَمْسَةً وَاحِدًا He will be dipped into Jannah, into paradise, for like, no, 1 second. And he will be asked, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَطْ Have you seen misery, you know, all of your life? He's going to say, لَا وَاللَّهِ I have never seen misery in my life. Allahu Akbar. So brothers and sisters, 1 second in hellfire will make you forget all the luxury and ease of this dunya. And 1 second in Jannah will make you forget all the misery of this, you know, life. So will you still procrastinate working for Jannah, inshallah? Say no or no. I love Egyptian democracy. Look at this beautiful dialogue between Musa alayhi salam and Allah. You know, Musa alayhi salam is given something special. He is Kalimullah. Allah used to talk to him directly. So Musa took advantage of this alayhi salam and he said, Prophet of Allah, man adna ahlul jannati manzila? Who would be the least one, you know, in Jannah? What would he get? And of course, when we say here, it's genderless, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He's a man who will come out of hellfire. And while he's coming out of hellfire, you know, every time he tries to come out, you know, subhanAllah, the volcanoes and like, you know, the flame of hellfire will catch him back. So he'll try one time, it doesn't work, second time it doesn't work, and then third time he'll be able to get out of it. So he's gonna say, Look back and say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anqadhani mink. All praises due to Allah who saved me from you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, go and enter Jannah. So he'll go to the gate of Jannah, he will look there and he's going to say, Oh Allah, you know, I found it full. There's no space for me. So Allah's going to say to him, what about if I give you the kingdom of the greatest king in dunya? And like that, one time, two times, three times, four times, five times. When Allah said five times, you know, the man started saying, Oh Allah, are you making fun of me and you are the Lord of the universe? Because his ultimate dream is just to be saved from hellfire and just to go to Jannah. Allah now is offering him, subhanAllah, the kingdom of the greatest king in dunya. Not only one time, Allah was going through five times, but he stopped him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, I'll give you the kingdom of the greatest king in dunya 10 times and go and you will live there forever. Then Musa alayhi salam was like, no, this is the least. What about the best in Jannah? So the Prophet, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, أُولَٰئِكَ عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَرَدْتَ These are my, you know, closest and most sincere, you know, servants. أُولَٰئِكَ غَرَسْتُ كَرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدِي You know, I will take care of them myself. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So look what's waiting for them there. You know, the Prophet ﷺ also was asked this question by the Sahaba, who would be the least, you know, amongst the people in Jannah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, it's a man who would walk through his property for 1,000 years and he wouldn't be able to finish it. Wow. Just say, wow. Just think with me. Imagine he's going to be walking 1,000, I know that because you can't imagine it, right? 1,000 years, he's walking into his property. Like one of your house would be a pearl 60 miles. You know, I know some of the brothers like to speed and some sisters too. You can speed there in your own house. There will be no traffic police there. You can drive 250. It's your own house. Okay? Imagine just one house, 60 mile, and it's made of pearl. Can you imagine a house made of pearl? As I said before. So, the man will be walking in his property, his land, his area, you know, for 1,000 years. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, in the hadith, he said, يَرَى أَقْصَاهَا كَمَا يَرَى أَدْنَاهَا. He'll be able to see the beginning of it and the end of it, but he will walk for 1,000 years, but he can't finish it. It doesn't mean like he's lost. No, he knows the place. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Jannah, you know, and usually ask this question, I know, like, there's a dear brother amongst you, I just saw him now. You know, when I was here in June, he used to drive me everywhere. And every time we go somewhere, we'll have a GPS. I know sometimes, you know, the GPS will not work properly. So you have to keep changing, especially if you make shortcuts and stuff. Do we need a GPS in Jannah? No. You will have an internal GPS. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. You will know your place. You will know your house. You will never miss it. So, the next question will be, when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, if this is the least, so who is the best? The Prophet ﷺ said, it's the person who will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every morning and every evening. Think about that. And then, do you know the story of the last man who will make it out of hellfire? The Prophet ﷺ told us, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said in Sahih Muslim, he said, it's a man who will come out of hellfire, and he tries to walk and he starts like slipping and falling again, because imagine he has been there for a number of years. And then he'll be so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that he'll look back and say, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he saved me from you. And he's going to say, you know, I don't think that there is anyone on earth that has been blessed with the blessing that has been given now, just being saved from hellfire. But listen, there is no area in between hellfire and Jannah. You have to be in either place. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would raise a tree for him. He's going to look at the tree, he's going to say, oh Allah, take me to the shade of that tree, and I want to drink from that water over there. So Allah is going to say, if I were to give you this, will you stop asking for anything anymore? He would say, oh Allah, I will never ask you for anything beyond that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him closer to the tree. And once he's there, under the shade, drinking out of the water, Allah would raise a bigger tree, a more beautiful tree, again in front of him. He's going to say, oh Allah, only that tree. Allah is going to say, you know, didn't you promise? You said, I'm not going to ask. He's like, no. But Allah knows, like, we are impatient by nature. And the man is coming out of hellfire, finding a shade. Water. Because people in hellfire, I don't want to talk about hellfire today, okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him there. But yet, Allah is going to raise a third tree that's bigger and more beautiful than the first two. And then the man is going to... Only this tree, oh Allah, only this tree. I'm not going to ask you for anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, what would stop you from pleading and asking? Every time I give you, ask for more. He's going to say, only this, Allah. Only this one. So Allah is going to take him there. But then he's going to look around and he can hear the people in Jannah. He's going to see the gate of Jannah. He's going to say, oh Allah, only this time. Just allow me to enter Jannah. So Allah is going to say to him, what about me giving you again the kingdom of a king in the worldly life? So the man's ultimate dream is to go to Jannah. Just like to enter there. So he's going to say, أَتَهْزَأُ بِي وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Are you making fun of me? And you are the Lord of the universe. And at that point, you know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who narrated the hadith, he started smiling. And he said to the Sahaba, ask me, why am I smiling? And then they asked him, why are you smiling? He said, because the Prophet ﷺ smiled when he told us this hadith. And he asked us to ask him, why is he smiling? And we asked him, O Prophet of Allah, why are you smiling? He said, because Allah smiled when that man said that. Because he can't believe himself. I just dreamed to go to Jannah and you want to give me the kingdom of a king in dunya? He's like, are you making fun of me? And Allah SWT said, لا أهزأ بك ولكني على ما أشاء قادر. I'm not making fun of you, but I can do whatever I want. Nobody can stop me. وهو على كل شيء قدير سبحانه وتعالى. Brothers and sisters, this is the last man going to Jannah. What about those who will go first? Would you like to go first, inshallah?
Yeah.
What shall you do? You have to do hard work. Okay, I think I got a ticket, so let me just run quickly through. You know, my time is done. Can I take another 2 minutes, inshallah?
Yes.
Is that okay? Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is motivating us for Jannah when He said this ayah. There are 89 times in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. And tonight I want you to hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu with new ears. Okay? I want you to feel that Allah is talking to you. Because Allah says in the Quran, Ya bani Adam, O children of Adam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Quran said 20 times, Ya ayyuhal nas, O people, O mankind, everyone, believers and non-believers. But when He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, He's talking to special people. Despite the rain, they came here. Despite, you know, they're tired and, you know, they came and they are patient to listen to this boring speaker. And inshallah, they're going to come tomorrow for the Jummah. And they're going to come to get married, inshallah, on Saturday, you know, and Sunday. And those who are married, I'm sure that they have problems. You know, we will solve the problems in that seminar too, inshallah. Are there any people who are married here? Raise your hands. Yeah. Can you smile, brother? Okay, inshallah. Okay, let's go there now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Do you feel it now? Yeah. That Allah's talking to you? You're very special. You're not ayyuha nas. Because all mankind, everyone, believers and unbelievers. But when Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, listen carefully and attentively. Because after this, in the 89 times in the Quran, Allah would say, do something or stay away from something. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming us. He said, مَا لَكُمْ. What's wrong with you? إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ انْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you were asked to go out, you know, and do anything for the sake of Allah, give anything for the sake of Allah, even if it's your money, even if it's your life, anything, your time, your knowledge. اِثَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. And of course, this one was talking about, you know, those who were called to do, you know, to go with the Prophet ﷺ, you know, and defend the Muslims. You know, you just like want to, you know, you can't even stand up. You know, when you feel like, you know, oh man, like, you know, I just ate too much and I can't even stand up to pray. So Allah is saying, when you are called to join the Prophet ﷺ, you know, you thaqal to Allah. And then Allah says, أَرَضِيتُم بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا الْآخِرَةِ. Are you content with this worldly life? And you give up the akhirah? You don't like the akhirah? The hereafter? The eternal one? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the statement, and listen carefully, فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. What you see in this dunya, wallahi, is nothing compared to what's waiting you in Jannah. So if somebody is offering you now real gold with the right hand and fake silver with the left hand, which one would you take? Speak to me. Are we doing this? Are we taking real gold? Are we thinking about akhirah? Or are we taking fake silver, which is dunya? So make your decision now, inshallah, and change. Work for the akhirah, because this is the real gold. The Prophet ﷺ was asked by the Sahaba, O Prophet of Allah, can you please describe to us our houses in Jannah? How would it look like? You know, would it be made of wood, and then, you know, when the rain comes, it will crumple? You know, especially when we have, like, you know, heavy rain. If you live in the equator, like in Malaysia. You know. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, listen carefully. He said, your house in Jannah will be one brick of gold, one brick of silver. Wow. Can you imagine this? Sisters know, because they love gold so much. You know, imagine now, looking at your house now, like bright. You know, this is, mashallah, a magnificent building. But can you imagine now this wall? One brick of gold, one brick of silver. Allahu Akbar. No concrete. No wood, okay? No maintenance. And what's going to be holding them together? The cement? The Prophet ﷺ said it's going to be musk. Can you imagine the fragrance? Today you have to use those chemicals, you know. Right? And then we get sick. Subhanallah. And then the Prophet said, وَحَصْبَاءُهَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ. And when it comes to the ground, you will see pearls scattered everywhere. And the sister will be walking on pearls. And somebody's like, watch out, these are pearls. Like, yeah, we have lots of them at home. But imagine now if you are walking the street and you see a pearls. And, man, we have to take care of this. So what about the ceiling? What about the ceiling of my house in Jannah? Guess what? The ceiling of your house in Jannah will be the throne of Allah. Wow. The ceiling will be the throne of Allah. You see how close you will be? Allahu Akbar. Would you still procrastinate working for Jannah, inshallah? Would we make tawbah now?
Yes. Sure.
And go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yes.
And start making Jannah our ultimate goal in life?
Yes.
Okay, how much is one square meter in Jannah? The Prophet said in the hadith, he said, لَقَابُ قَوْسَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. If you have a space of one square meter in Jannah, it's better than the whole of this dunya. What if you want to own a house? I'm just to give an example, in Langkawi. Yeah. The gracious brother amongst you, he took me to Langkawi when I was here, and I was like, wow, I thought that Canada is beautiful. I changed my mind now. It's amazing. It's like paradise on earth. But this is nothing compared to Jannah. So imagine if you want to own one square meter there. How much would it cost you? And usually in Egypt, I say, if you were to own a house by the River Nile, how much? What about a house in Paris? In London? London is very crowded. Okay. So the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the Sahaba one time and he said, أَلَا مِن مُشَمَّرٍ لِلْجَنَّةِ. And mushammar means, when you are about, to do something, and really it needs work, you start folding your sleeves, I'm going to do hard work. So the Prophet is like, is there anybody who is willing to work hard for Jannah? And then the Prophet said, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ وَاللَّهِ. And the Prophet wouldn't take an oath by Allah unless it's really something serious, and he wants to motivate people. As one time he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقٍ. He doesn't have to take an oath because he is the most trustworthy and honest person on earth. But he was trying to motivate people, because you and I, when we give sadaqah, you will be under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment because of your charity that you have given. And he said, your money will never decrease when you give a sadaqah. And by our own calculation, we say, no. Because if I were to say now, all of you have 100 ringgits in your pockets now, okay? I'm not going to do a fundraiser, don't worry. I'm not going to take your money. Okay, and I would say, okay, everybody, give me 50 ringgits right now. Okay, give me 50 ringgits. I'm not asking. Okay, so when you give me 50 ringgits here, and I'm gonna ask the sister right here. It's like, so what happened to your 100 ringgits? It decreased. It became only 50 ringgits. Right? This is our own calculation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has different way of calculation. Allah said, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. When you give, Allah multiplies the reward 10 times. So when you do a good deed, Allah multiplies it 10 times. So the 50 ringgits that you gave, in the sight of Allah, it became 500 ringgits. So can we calculate the money now? So you have 500 with Allah, and how many in your pocket? 50. So the 100 became 550. So did it increase or decrease? If you trust Allah. But many of us, when the time comes, and the brothers, I'm going to invite me, inshallah, one day to do a fundraise, and I'm going to say, the Prophet said this. Who believes in that? Show it by your actions now. You know what I'm saying? This is the way we do it, because Allah said this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 282, Allah said, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. Shushu, shaitan, always promises you poverty. When there's a fundraiser, and you want to give for the sake of Allah, you're going to say, hey, they're going to take your money. Your wife will beat you up when she revises your salary, and like, you know, there's some money, you know, is not there in the bank account. You know, what about your kids? You know, if you give money, you see what I'm saying? But Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. But Allah promises you, when you give, forgiveness of your sins. And He will make it up for you out of His own bounty. So you give 50, Allah will give you 500. In fact, the other ayah, you know, I don't have time to elaborate, says 100 times, not only 10 times. And the Prophet said it could be also 700 times. And he said countless times. Allahu Akbar. So would you give for the sake of Allah, inshallah? Next time when I come, inshallah, in the fundraiser. Okay? So he said, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ وَاللَّهِ نُورٍ. So he's like saying, who would work hard for Jannah? Because Jannah is all about light. And then he said, وَرَيْحَانَةٌ تَهْتَزْ. So نُورٌ يَتَلَأْلَى. It will be like bright and shining everywhere, wherever you go in Jannah. You know, your wife in Jannah will come inside the house and you'll see it's all light, but the light will increase when your wife comes in. Wow. And then he said, وَرَيْحَانَةٌ تَهْتَزْ. You'll have flowers everywhere. And they're like, you know when there's like a gentle breeze and the flowers are like moving, you know, in all directions? That's your place in Jannah. وَقَصْرٌ مَشِيدٌ. A house built by Allah for you. وَزَوْجَةٌ حَسْنَاءٌ جَمِيلًا. An espouse that's very beautiful. And for the sister, you will have a handsome husband. وَفَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرًا. You know, fruits. You know, even the forbidden fruit here. You know, the fruit that you can't take to the hotel? Okay? Inshallah, you will eat it inshallah in Jannah. You wouldn't have problems inshallah. Okay? Because I told the brother I want to see this fruit. He said, Sheikh, I'm sorry, I can't bring it to the hotel. So until now, I haven't eaten it. Inshallah, we'll eat it in Jannah inshallah. وَنَهْرٌ مُطَّرِدٌ. You'll have a river like flowing underneath your own palace. My own river? Yeah. There will be lots of dolphins there. You can play with them. There will be lots of fish. And you go there. You don't need oxygen. You can go there. Allah will make you able to, you know, breathe without oxygen. It's amazing. Just think about that. And the Sahaba, right away, they interacted. They said, نَحْنُ الْمُشَمِّرُونَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Yes, here we are. Ready to work for Jannah. He said, قُولُوا inshaAllah. He said, say inshaAllah. They said, نحن المشمرون إن شاء الله. Say it. نحن المشمرون إن شاء الله. Then when we go to Jannah, after we get so many things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Qaf, you know, ادخلوها بسلام آمنين. Enter Jannah and you'll have peace and security. You know, no more fear. You know, you wouldn't fear like sickness or, you know, money or loneliness or whatever, all of your concerns, there is no fear. And then he would say, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهِ. You will get everything you want. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. And we'll have more. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Ibn Kathir, you know, explaining this ayah after he listened to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you know, the ayah which means like they will get everything that they wish in Jannah and we have more. He said, it's very common for the Arabs, because the Quran was revealed to them to start with, that they love rain because they live in the desert. And rain to them means life. Rain to them means, you know, you can't live without water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anbiya 21, ayah number 30, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. And we have made every living being out of water. If you ask doctors, they will tell you your body is 80% water. Right? And you can't live without water. So for the a Bedouin living in the desert, you know, water means life, water means grass for his cattle, water, it's the source of money for everything. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying, لَهُمَّ يَشَاءُونَ فِي الْعَدَنَ مِزِيدَ. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, the person will be sitting in Jannah, and he will see a cloud. And a cloud in the dunya, you know, for somebody who lives in Canada, minus 50, say, no, please, Allah, no more snow. Okay? But for someone who's living in Arabia, he's going to say, they go out and pray Salatul Istisqa. It's like, oh, Allah, send us pouring rain. Okay? So I wish to send some of our snow to Arabia, inshallah. If it's in my hands. But it's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To see, subhanallah, the scorching heat and, you know, the freezing cold. But in Jannah, inshallah, the climate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يَرَوْنَ فِيهَا شَمْسًا وَلَا زَمْهَرِيرًا. There will be no scorching heat no freezing cold, no humidity. Okay? You don't need air conditioner. You don't need any fans. It's going to be automatic. Allah is in control. So, he said there will be a cloud, and the person will look at the cloud and he will think of something. It will drop from that cloud. So can you think of anything? Okay? A bike. Okay? 900, you know, miles per second. You know, my own plane will drop. And then Mazid, which is like something more, he said there will be, you know, those ads where they have like a flying carpet today and they abuse women? If they want to sell shoes, they have like a body of a woman, they say Islam oppresses women while they restrict women, right? And if they want to sell perfume, you know, they will bring a man putting the perfume and a woman has to appear in the background. I don't know why. So there will be a flying carpet, and subhanAllah, there will be a very beautiful woman like on that carpet. And then the man is going to say, oh, I wish I had that woman. And then she will drop right in front of him. And guess what? His wife. I was explaining, you know, Surah Yasin, you know, Surah number 36 in Ottawa, in Canada. And then when I came to the ayah that talks about this, you know, Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, you know, the man or the woman with his spouse or her spouse will be sitting on sofas, cushions, you know, and they will be very comfortable. And alhamdulillah, the sisters were in the second level, otherwise we would have a fight that night. And one of the uncles was sitting right in front of me. And then I said, they and their wives. And he was like, Sheikh, you know, are you sure that this is the interpretation of the ayah? I said, yes. He said, you mean I'm going to leave my wife in the dunya and she's going to chase me in Jannah? I thought like I spent 25 years, which is life imprisonment. I'm free now. And then I started explaining to him. I said, like, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah number 7, ayah number 50, Allah said, you know, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Allah will create us in a different way. There will be nothing in our hearts. You know, all the diseases in our heart now, hate, grudge, envy, jealousy, there's nothing, there will be nothing of that in your heart. This is why the sisters will be happy that their husbands will have al-hurlain. And that's one part of the answer to the question, because she's a maid, she's like a servant. Would you compare yourself as the queen of the house to somebody serving you? No. And you wouldn't feel that jealousy that you have today. You wouldn't have this in your heart. And in fact, if I were to ask the sisters about the brothers, do you know the biggest challenge of brothers? It's you, woman. Okay? Right, brothers? All right. The biggest challenge for men is women. But let me ask the question the other way. And I have bad news for the brothers. The biggest challenge for the sisters is not you. It is. And the second one starts with S. It's called shopping. Okay, let's not talk about this, because we're going to talk about this in the marriage, you know, inshallah, the orchard of love. But subhanallah, you know, yes, it's going to be your wife, it's going to be more beautiful than in Hur al-Ain. Even though if you hear the scripture of Al-Hur al-Ain, it's something beyond your imagination. If, you know, like one of her finger would just like appear to the people of dunya, it will, you know, give light to the whole universe without the need of a sun or a moon. But you will be more beautiful than her. So how can you compare this? Anyway, let's continue. So, let me conclude with asking a few questions. If I were to ask one of you, what's your country? What's your country? Malaysia? What's the country of your father? Malaysia? And your grandfather? Malaysia? What about, what's the country of our father?
Jannah.
Allahu Akbar. Give him a chocolate, akhi. Not just a candy. Right? That's the country I'm asking about. Right? Where did our father live to start with? Jannah. And he disobeyed Allah. Right? Was Adam created to live in Jannah to start with? No. He was created to live on earth. And am I claiming that? No. Go to surah number 2 and number 30. Right? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He didn't say في الجنة, في الأرض. خليفة. I'm going to create someone who would be a trustee on earth. But he was shown his real country first. His real place. Right? So when I ask you, you should say, my homeland is Jannah. This is, you know, this is going to be easy for you to understand the hadith of the Prophet when he said, live in this dunya as a stranger or a traveler. So where do you belong? Not to Malaysia, not to Egypt, not to Canada. We all belong to Jannah. Because our father started in Jannah, and when he disobeyed Allah on earth, he made tawbah, and Allah accepted his tawbah, and he's going back home. Who would like to go back home? I don't mean here in Malaysia, okay? I'm going to take 5 more minutes, okay? So, who wants to go back home? And home is? Home, sweet home. Jannah. Okay? Not your apartment where you have to bring the plumber and, you know? So, Subhanallah, that's what I want you to think about. So, we are here as strangers. And it's amazing, Subhanallah, that in real life, I live in Canada right now, but sometimes when I watch the news and I see what's happening in Egypt, where I was born, sometimes, Subhanallah, I miss Egypt. And sometimes I cry. It's like, I want to go home. And when I go home, I feel so happy that I'm amongst my family. And one time I started reflecting on that. I said, is Egypt my home? And I cry just to go home, which is a place in this dunya. No, I think I should miss the real home. And I sometimes shed tears for missing Egypt. But I said, I should shed more tears because I'm missing Jannah. Right? Should we do the same thing? So think about this, inshallah. I want you to miss Jannah more than you miss your home, because Jannah is your home. Jannah is your real home. And also, we want sometimes to shed some tears because we want to be there, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us all. So how much do you crave Jannah? Look at this beautiful story. The Prophet ﷺ, after, you know, he was preparing the Sahaba for the Battle of Badr, and he was giving a motivational speech. After which, you know, he said, قُومُوا إِلَى جَنَّةِ الْعَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Stand up and join the battle, and inshallah, we will meet together in Jannah, the expanse of which is equal to the heavens and the earth. So one of the Sahaba, whose name is Umayr ibn al-Hammam, he said, بَخِن بَخِن يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And you know what there is? There's no translation for bakhin bakhin in English, but I would say, you know, when somebody's like, you know, wow, yeah! You know, when you're so happy, so excited about something, I can't wait to be there. This is what it means. So the Prophet said, why did you say bakhin bakhin, Umayr? He said, Prophet of Allah, I want to go to Jannah. I miss Jannah. So the Prophet said, you will go to Jannah, Umayr. He said, so what is the barrier between me and Jannah, Prophet of Allah? He said, just to enter this battle, and if you die, you're in Jannah. So Umayr looked at his hand. He had some dates in his hand. And he said, Wallahi, innaha lahayatun tawila in ishtu hatta akul hadhihi tamarat. Oh Allah, it would be a very long life if I live to eat those dates. And he threw them and he joined the battle. And he ended up being killed, and he's in Jannah now. How much do you miss Jannah? How much are you ready to sacrifice to go to Jannah? So the poet said, فَحَيَّ عَلَى جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. Let's work hard, you know, to go to Jannat Adn, you know. And then he said, فَإِنَّهَا مَنَازِلُنَا الْأُولَى وَفِيهَا الْمُخَيَّمُ. This is our real home. And the tent will be there. You can make your own tent. There will be no ants there, no bugs. After Fajr, I went to the place where I'm staying, and I looked in the street, I was like, what is this? I saw so many things flying. But alhamdulillah, during the day they disappeared, alhamdulillah. لَكِنَّنَا سَبْيُ الْعَدُوُ. He said, but we are sometimes imprisoned by our own enemies, which could be myself, my desires, shaitan, you know, temptations of this life. Get rid of that and be a slave to Allah. Don't be enslaved to your desires. Don't be enslaved to peer pressure. Enslave yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, فَهَلْ تُرَانَا نُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَوْطَانِنَا وَنَسْلَمُ. So inshaAllah, shall we go back home safe? Meaning, shall we go back to Jannah inshaAllah? Oh Allah, guide all of our steps to Jannah. So last quick questions. Shall we be bored in Jannah? Because there will be no job. That's what somebody told me one time. Like, I'm busy now, I go to work from 9 to 5. I said, yeah, you're a slave. And you hate it. He said, like, yeah. I said, yeah, this is why. But subhanAllah, if you think that your job is a means to provide for your family and for yourself out of a halal means and the provision is coming from Allah, this is considered jihad. Allah will reward you for that. So, inshaAllah, in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغْلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. They're very busy. Why? Because they're going to be enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, going to a picnic, inviting someone. I have a list of things, inshallah, if I made it to Jannah. I'm going to invite the people of Uhud in my palace, you know, inshallah. And on top of whom the Prophet sallallahu. One day I'm going to invite all the Prophets, inshallah, to enjoy their company. One time I'm going to go in a picnic, you know, in the forest with Umar radiallahu anhu, hunting with Hamza. You know, walking during the night, you know, speaking by the river with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You know, going to practice, you know, archery with Ali radiallahu anhu. There will be no fighting, but like, you know, it's fun. Okay? Swimming with the dolphins and the sharks in my own river. So you see, like, just dream about Jannah. It motivates you, wallahi. So, in conclusion, what about our garments in Jannah, our clothes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said many times in the Quran, it will be made of silk. And the sisters would say, silk is halal for us in the dunya. So, you know, this is for the, you know, the men. What about us? You know, the names of things in this dunya is completely different. So the resemblance is only is in the name. As Ibn Abbas said, when Allah says, rivers in Jannah of water, it's not water like here. Rivers of, you know, wine. Astaghfirullah. Yeah. Alcohol here is disgusting. The way it smells, the impact of it. But when Allah says, anharin min khamrin ladhatin lishalibin. Khamr in Jannah is going to be something delicious. The way it smells, the impact of it, is like when you drink juice now. It's completely different. And it says, أَنْهَارٍ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Rivers of honey. It's not the honey that you just take a sip today and you have to go and see the doctor, you'll have a, you know, sore throat. It's completely different. It's for us just to imagine. So we will have, you know, garments made of brocade and silk, very soft, very nice. What about the furniture? Shall we have a chair like, you know, you're sitting now, you know, listening to me and you do like this for 5 minutes and you change for this 5 minutes. Said, like, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, you will be visiting one of your friends or one of your family members, you know, reclining on a couch like this for 2 to 3 months without changing your position. Yeah, you don't have appointments. You don't have to go out, you know. Because if you need something, you know, you don't have to push a button. You know, it will come to you. Allah many times in the Quran said, خُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً. I want to eat fruits? We will never be hungry in Jannah. We'll never be thirsty. It's like you just eat out of enjoyment. Like, you know, now when your wife gives you the big meal and you eat, it's like, you know, I'm still hungry, get me just something. She's going to bring you some nuts, you know, and some fruits, right? It's like, you're not hungry, but like you just eat out of enjoyment. You know, there is no hunger, there is no thirst in Jannah. And, subhanAllah, you think about like a fruit, the fruit will come. You don't go to the climb the tree and fall down and break your knees. No. It will come to you. The fruit will come directly to you. Oh, do I have to wash it? No, it's ready. What if I'm eating an apple, you know, people like yellow apple. And then in the middle of the apple, they're going to start thinking of banana. Don't go banana, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the taste of the rest of the apple into banana. He's the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see what I'm saying? So when it comes to cups made of silver, and don't think of the fake silver that you have here. It's like real silver. You know, what about service in Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وُلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. There will be young boys, you know, who will look like scattered pearls, moving around, serving you whatever you want. Something amazing. So, let's ask about the etiquette in Jannah. If I want something, now we have something called Tim Hortons in North America. If you need like coffee or tea, do you have something similar here? Starbucks or okay, something like that. So when you line up, you have to say double or triple, right? And they will make a mistake. You don't need sugar, but they're going to put you lots of sugar. So do I have to say double in Jannah? No. Listen to this beautiful etiquette in Jannah. It's summed up in Surah Yunus. So number 10, and the ayah number 10. So 10. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, دَعْوَاهُمْ فِيهَا سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمْ. You want something in Jannah? All what you need to do is like say Subhanallah. What? I need biryani. But very spicy. Yeah, don't say anything. You don't even have to name it. Just say Subhanallah. Allah knows what's in your heart. So what's going to happen? وَتَحِيَّتُهُمْ فِيهَا سَلَامٌ. And the greeting for them is peace. So an angel will come with whatever you think of, not even you said. Whatever you didn't even name. So he'll come in with it. So you eat, and then no washroom, no diarrhea, no constipation, no stomach ache. And after that, what do you do at the end? وَآخِرُ دَعْوَاهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And the last thing after they finish eating or drinking, even though they're not hungry or thirsty, they would say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. This is the etiquette in Jannah. The last question is, what is the greatest reward in Jannah? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that they will have al-husna, which means Jannah. And then he said, waziyada, and something above that. The greatest punishment for the people of hellfire is that they will be denied access to seeing Allah. Yet after people, inshallah, of Jannah, may Allah make us amongst them, will make it to Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to them and he would say, assalamu alaykum, Allahu Akbar. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to greet you. And people will say, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam, tabarakta wa ta'alayta ya dal jalali wal ikram. Oh Allah, you are as-salam. And from you is coming to us as-salam now. No, you are exalted. And you are the most high. And to you is the majesty and the glory. And then Allah is going to say, would you like to ask me for more? You're in Jannah now. And they're going to say, what else, O Allah, should we ask for? You have illuminated our faces. And you saved us from hellfire. And you allowed us to enter Jannah. What else could we dream of? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would uncover the veil. And people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. In the Prophet ﷺ said, فَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا. They will never be given something more, you know, beloved to their hearts more than seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every Friday, you'll be given an invitation card. Come to visit Allah. So all the believers will go and visit Allah. And every time you go back home, your wife will be waiting for you. And every time you leave her, she'll be more beautiful. And every time you come back, you'll be more good looking. And does the same entrance of my palace will be the same? No, every day will change. The flowers will change. It's something you can't imagine. So we need to work hard for Jannah. The Prophet said, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلَعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً. The merchandise of Allah, Allah is giving nothing in return for your submission to Him except Jannah. So Jannah is very expensive. All what we need to do, inshallah, is to go back to Allah tonight and repent and ask Allah for forgiveness for all of your sins. And whenever, by mistake, you make a sin or commit a sin, follow it by a good deed. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And follow a bad deed with a good deed, it will erase the bad deed. And make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you tawbah before death, and give you shahada at the moment of death, and give you jannah after death. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.